call this meeting to order. Let's go ahead and begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then I'll offer a word of prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to be here today at this meeting, the Water District, grateful for the interested members of the community that join and for those who volunteer their time on the board and the workers here as well. We're grateful to be all involved in this worthy cause of keeping water supply for this beautiful community of ours. We, as always, we pray for more rain, that we can have our water supply replenished and that we can keep our beautiful valleys green. We also pray that as we do business here that we may be kind and clear and logical and that the decisions that should be made will be made. We're grateful for the bounties of this earth and close this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's begin with a roll call down with Raja.
Roger Childers, present.
Victor Tyre, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
Corey Ellsworth, present.
George Rogowski, present.
Sharon Elmer, present.
We are a quorum 6 of 6. As some of you know, we have a 7th spot open being advertised for the board, but we are all here who are on the board. We have 2 board meetings minutes to approve. The July 27th regular meeting and the August 17th study session.
I make a motion to approve the minutes for the study session.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes for the study session, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The July 27th regular meeting.
July 27th minutes.
I'll second that. I can do that, right? Yeah. All those in favor of approving those minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. We have approved those. Moving to item number 6, reports to the board. Let's hear from, I guess, Paul and then Steve, right? The WIFA report, EUSI program manager's report, and then over to Steve Bowen as well. Paul, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board. It's a pleasure to be here. A while ago, we established a open report, dashboard report that's online for the USDA waterline replacement projects. It's active. As we get the new projects going, the resident project engineer will be providing updates to those. So I would just encourage everybody to go to the website and check that out. Cool Pines project. When I put this report together at the end of last week, it was 88% complete. They expect to have the project completed in early September. September 11th is what I have listed there. They're out there putting service lines in and doing some cleanup work. We expect between the rainstorms for them to get in there and get the pavement replaced. I'm sure the community would be happy and excited about that. Woodland Heights. They expect to start a little sooner than September 18th. We'll see how that goes. Whispering Pines, we had a pre-construction meeting, and the contractor is mobilizing, has made good progress this week. We've only broke one water line, ran into one APS line that wasn't properly marked. No issues there. So making good progress, and we're looking at next spring, get rolling on the White Oak Cedar Meadows. We had some unfortunate update of information regarding the deep well. The contractor has access to specialized drilling equipment that would go on that site, had previously made a commitment and asked us to set a formal contract notice to proceed, which starts their 150-day calendar on September 11th. We were advised last Thursday that his that equipment would not be available. It's committed to another several drilling activities prior to ours. We're a little bit dismayed regarding that, and we've shared that with our engineer who's coordinating that work, and also with the drilling company. And it's a unique project with a unique drilling rig requirement. Other community members, I'm sure, see other drill rigs out there. Victor, one of the board members, said there's a drill rig just down the street, but drill rigs are unique, and this is a special one. So although we'd like to have it sooner, we're now looking at probably wintertime. And as soon as we get more information, we'll update the board and the community. Right now, we don't have a notice to proceed date that the driller is ready to commit to. We have the engineer engaged to really work directly with APS to do the design and be able to get the electric supply to that site. Long lead items are electric and service entrance sections from APS to a project like this. Could be 48 to 60 weeks, depending on the size and sequence of things. So we're trying to get ahead of that with working directly with APS to bring in that power supply. Portals 1 and 2, the final set of plans have been submitted to ADEQ. They had a few comments for review and approval, and they've been sent on to USDA. We're expecting to be bidding that in September, and usually it takes about 60 days to get through the bidding, evaluation, approval process, and then come back to the board for moving forward with that. Still an expensive project. It'll be our largest project. We did have a good meeting today with representatives from the Homeowners Association and also the gas company, and we'll be continuing to have dialogue with them to minimize the disruption to the community. It's probably a 200-day project once we get started, so things will be a challenge on some of those small windy roads and those kinds of conditions. We continue to be involved with your treasurer and the staff on reviewing and dealing with the documentation, both with WIPA and USDA. Everything's going fine in that regard. Making a lot of progress, which I'm sure the district is happy about. And your new operations manager, Steve, is going to be talking about those details, so I won't go into those too much. We're happy to be part of the team.
Thank you very much, Paul. We're happy you're part of the team.
Any questions?
I have one question. Are there any consequences in the contract for any delays?
There are, and what they'll do is they'll file a formal request for a change, and if they hold their prices, all that sort of thing, then we need to consider whether or not there's any monetary damages and that sort of thing. So those would be under...
And there are recourses?
There are. The fact that they had a notice to proceed date and accepted it, and now have asked for that to be delayed, we have to address that once we get to that formal part.
Thank you.
I want to just comment that the engineer's estimate is now 4.8 million for that project. It's come down quite a bit from the original.
Yeah, and I think that was due to, there was some work done to evaluate rock, and also staff provided good input, took a lot of fittings out of the lines, streamlined that and right-sized some of the piping.
So that's the deep well we're talking about?
It's portals.
Portals, okay.
Yeah, that's correct. I had an error in my document here from the past. So that number at 4.8.
Way down.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Paul? Let's go ahead and move to Steve.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Tomorrow will be my fourth week here as operational manager. I'll start producing this report that I'm just going to read off to you guys today on a monthly basis for a meeting, so you'll have it. And I'll try to highlight things that have been happening for this. I'm happy to say that after 4 weeks, I haven't fired anybody, and I have been fired. So we're moving along pretty good. Most of this is mostly for the board, just to give it a quick update, because we don't get to see them monthly or sometimes twice a month. Sharon and the team have been incredible. The guys in the field have changed their attitude. We've implemented some new procedures. Like Christy touched base on the one we just talked about today, if you'd like. But some of the things that we've done, that the first week was me just being a sponge. I just kind of listened and watched and evaluated. Didn't try to change anything, didn't piss anybody off. And it helped, because at the end of that first week, we did have a field day of a party. And the guys, all in the trucks, they got all the trucks clean. We got new decals. We look more professional. We're getting Kyle's now going to be doing inspections on the trucks, so they're going to have to be kept in a professional manner. And they seem to be very happy about that. We cleaned up the yard all the way around. It's for the public. Anybody to see it. We want to be proud of our facility. So the first thing I did after noticing is I implemented the field crew that's here at 7. They all go through their logs and check their levels, and then they talk amongst each other for a bit, but they're out of here, for the most part, on time at 7:30. They needed a little bit of direction like that. I noticed them sharing it as well. Sometimes they'd be lingering out, hanging out, just doing it, but it took a couple of tries, but now they're doing their best to get out of here on time, which is where I am. Also, Kim, the person in the office that everybody meets when you drop off your payment, we went ahead and made her full-time, and she's working out great. She's very happy about it. She's learning a lot from Christy and Morgan. Also Sharon. Not as much as I am, but she is. We've had to discuss... I don't know if we'll do this, but we probably should. We're going to be implementing new blow-off procedures. These are water bottle samples. So we've got that in place and working. We've since gone back to this gentleman. He is clean. He's clear. This won't happen again. He's hopefully not on my watch. So we've now ordered 100 new meters that are due in about 8 weeks. So we'll be up stocked up on some meters. We've obtained quotes, and we're reviewing that later today for the new back truck that's in the agenda. We've experienced 12 water shutdowns in Cool Pines and one in Whispering Pines. And every time we've got them back up and running that day. Some of that procedure that we need for the blow off is because of that, but we've been down 12 times. I've dealt personally with anybody who's called in on it. Called them back. Let them know. more involved with you guys out in the field with these things for scheduled shutoffs, so that we're getting more time for the people to you guys know that we have a scheduled shutoff up and to prepare for it. We've received two quotes, received one quote rather, for painting the black holding tanks in Strawberry. So Sharon and I'll be talking about that later. We've cleared McKnight site and made it look 90% better. We fixed the leak in Whispering Pines, and it happened to be within the first 2 hours of starting the project. We had it back up within 45 minutes. I've obtained a quote for the Pine Cone Trail engineer, so we'll talk about that next. Corrected 7 water breaks. No, that's an old quote, sorry. Recently learned how to test chlorination of the meter request. That will relieve some of the guys from, instead of dropping what they're doing, it enables me to go out, test the meter, if they say it's a meter, and see if it is chlorinated water or regular water. I'm learning. So it's something that I want to keep going and learning with. And the last thing I just want to report is I attended the first Portal 1 and 2 HOA meeting. And must have done something right because they invited me back for October 7th. So I told them I was a glutton for punishment, that I'm going to feel like a pinata in the land of little sticks. But that's about all I have that I could think of. It's been a busy 4 weeks. It's been a good 4 weeks. I've noticed a lot of positive change. And I'll start reporting this on a monthly basis to you guys and to you guys see how we back it.
Off to a great start. It's not fired and didn't fire anyone. I mean, you can't go around that.
Exactly.
Water lines are getting fixed and all that good stuff. So, any questions for Steve from the board? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Treasurer's report, Sharon.
Well, this is the first month of our new fiscal year, and the records are in place. We're going through the audit. Auditors were to be here next Monday and Tuesday, but we determined this week we would do the audit remotely because they're doing the majority of them remotely now. So it's just a function that's better for us. We don't have to have auditors sitting in here just watching the operations of the district. Hopefully it'll work out really well, and we'll continue to do remote from now on. It's just a lot of uploading documentation for them to review and answer questions and that type of stuff. We expect another good audit this year. We keep the records pretty ship-shaped, and everything is always in balance. This report will be posted to the website tomorrow.
Looks good. Any questions for Sharon? Okay, let's go to the secretary's report. Larry.
Yeah, I'll try and make this as brief as possible. Those of you who have looked at it, you're already aware of my position on the moratorium. If you look at their, let's deal with reality fact number one, Arizona state law requires an assured, whatever that means, 100-year water supply. So I'd like to take a little informal.
Larry, that hasn't come up yet. That's on in the business discussion.
This is his report.
It's his report.
Pardon?
Forget it.
I'd like to take a little informal poll, including the board. Question one. With the moratorium in place, how many of us in this room feel that we have an assured 100-year water supply for our customers?
100 year?
You do.
I mean, it's good we can predict, Larry.
Number two, especially for those who attended our last moratorium study session, how many of you agreed that if we start releasing meters, we go to a year-to-year, 100-year water supply.
Say it again.
how many of you would agree with me that with the start of meteor releases reduces our water supply to year to year?
Water supply is based on what's available coming out of the wells and what the demand is. It's that simple. If we have the supply, we can meet the demand.
Okay.
You can't predict going forward what's going to happen.
And number three, this really should be for all Arizona citizens. With no controls at all, do you feel like we have an assured water supply of 100 years?
I don't know how anybody in this room can answer that question without having data, Larry.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. Vice Chairman's report, George.
I don't have any. I presented everything I was presenting last study session, so
we've got items later for you. Our committee report, our communications committee, Victor.
So we, in sort of in preparation for the decision that's going to be made today, the committee met Tuesday. And they're all ready to help with any communications that may arise out of this decision. And just a couple more items. One is communications around SB3, the new well. They also agreed that we should send that out with whatever that we can share, including the complaint that has been filed, so that we're up and up on the situation at the deep well. And then two actions, Corey, I discussed this with you. I think we had prior discussions on it. And I'll work with Steve Bowen on including email as a way to deliver requests for public records. And then forget the second one again, Corey.
It was the board position.
Oh yeah, the emailing the open board position to further expand, publicizing that open position. So.
We did, didn't we?
I think it's in the web and it's in Facebook, but I think it hasn't been emailed yet.
That's correct. We did not choose email or text or a phone call as a medium. Because it eliminates a portion of the eligibility, such as you just have to be a registered voter who pays property tax to the district, not necessarily just a customer. If we chose either one of those two mediums, it would have left a portion of the eligible population out. So we did not do text or phone for that reason.
But if we post it on the website, that's all humanity.
Right.
And this is a subset of all humanity, but it's still a good idea, I think, to have it out there.
I still think so. I mean, I don't know. We may. What were we leaving out? It's just an addition.
There is a portion of the community that pays property taxes to the district, but they are not customers of the district.
Right.
So we have no way of contacting them we don't have their contact information to send them an email or a text message.
Yeah, so to the Corey's point, this is just an additional. The larger net has also been cast, so this is just an additional way of publicizing it.
We can do that.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
That's my report.
Thank you very much. District Attorney's report, Steve Ween. He's got it.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
We can. Yes. We can even see you.
Nice. Well, I'll be brief. First and foremost, as you are aware, over the last 30 days, we had the Heather Nelson mediation regarding her employment complaint. We did not reach a settlement. So in the next few days, I will respond to the allegations and state our position. I'll report back on that. For the record, I don't know how far this will go and how long it takes in the investigation. I don't know that. I know that's the next questions, but we'll see. A lot of it will depend upon who's investigating and or what issues they see. So we'll play that by ear. I'll give you an update as soon as I know something. Next, manager, Mr. Bowen had asked me to look into an issue regarding building permits. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I know he's listening right now, so we can talk about that. Typically, in many cases, if you are building something that is part of your primary purpose, in your case, primary purpose is delivering potable water to the community, then you should not need a building permit. Now, my approach is I want to talk to the county and make sure they see it the same way. I don't want to pick a fight with anybody, but that is the way I'm leaning, you know, unless somebody can show me some Arizona case law that has another outcome. And that's going to be the position. So Steve, you and I probably next week need to just talk and see how we approach it. Next, we have the Halcombe James lawsuit. I did accept service. They filed it, filed complaints, we're on the clock. We have drafted a draft answer. We're now going through the process of refining it, trying to figure out what facts and affirmative defenses there are. I mean, affirmative defenses are things like, well, we are not liable for these claims you have, and here's why, more than just we denied your allegations. So that's underway. Two issues that are still outstanding that, you know, frankly, due to the load of work that we had on all these other matters have been not aggressively worked on, I guess is the best way to say that. The Milk Ranch easement, I need to speak with the people in the district who are in charge of that and continue to go that route. We haven't seen much progress on that. The other one is a complaint by a person that we have sold some land to recently and now want to see some additional actions take place. We haven't done much on that either. Two reasons. One, don't know exactly what we should do because I don't think there's really any action for us to take at this point other than do what we explained we were going to do, but there was no time limit or time crunch on that. What I'm specifically talking about is taking down a building that had, my understanding, may or may not have been encroaching on property, but it's not a building that we own. Sharon may have a little bit more insight on this later at another meeting. We don't need to talk about it right now. In fact, we can because it's not on the agenda, but still need to address that. Otherwise, everything is just moving forward. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. In terms of Chairman's report, when we move into business, the first two items will be relating to moratorium modifications and release meter release plans. I'll just say up front that there's been a great deal of a focus and attention and candor and research that have gone into that. And when we get to it, we'll see if something is approved. But I just want to recognize that's the big issue, and we'll be dealing with that in a moment. Otherwise, super pleased with Steve Stark in the district and the work on the communications committee and all the work that Sharon and others do to make this place tick. So I'm pleased. Let's go into item number 7, consideration and for general unscheduled comments from the public. I was not made aware of any online. Last month we had one that was passed to me, so there are two in-house. Diane Beekner, did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you probably know what I'm going to say, but I firmly believe that option one is the way to go. It's fair and simple. Option two has, I believe, repercussions that because of the complications. I thought of something and I sent it out to everyone, but I can share it here. I mean, if there's somebody that has vacant land that they purchased as a financial investment but never intended to build on it, we would be infringing on their rights by using option two, in my opinion, because their value probably wouldn't be as high without a meter. So I thank you again for all your consideration and the work you're doing to help us, help all of us.
Thank you, Diane.
Bill number six.
Very much appreciated. The second one is David Diggs relating to the proposed deep well. I'm sorry, there you go.
Thank you. I appreciate our turn to speak to the council the second time. First, I want to thank Treasurer Pill for responding to my notes and giving me the information you do have on the deep well. It's not quite what I was looking for, but as you said, this is all you have. So I appreciate you providing that. And your closed email with the quote, "We will certainly do our best to keep the community's concerns in mind in all our decisions." Yes. Which I know you guys do, and I certainly do appreciate that. But second, you've all been selected, you volunteered and selected, to lead this organization. And I'll spend a few minutes talking about leadership and what I think it needs in order to be great. I notice a lot of the speakers come here, they're very deferential to the board, which is somewhat appropriate, and they bring gifts. But I think leaders need to be told when they're missing the mark, because that enables them to get better and be better leaders going forward. So with that being said, with the purchase of Ignite property, you became my neighbor. With that comes responsibilities. I'm sure if your neighbor came and denuded the entire lot next to you and decided to build something the lot was not designed for over a 12-month period, you'd probably have some questions. And you'd expect them to come to you, tell you what they're going to be doing, and maybe get your feedback and input on how to mitigate some of those issues going forward. So, you know, with that being said, a big part of your job is making good decisions. And I think not coming to the community, not reaching out to the neighborhood, was a bad decision. And I think you should work to rectify that going forward and begin to bring us into this decision process so we can help make sure the project is what the community needs going forward. So I came here last month to request additional transparency about this project. What I received was a sketch of the functional aspects of the site, and was told there was no firm plans yet for the site beyond the well. As your neighbor and a constituent, this does not give me comfort that you have an acceptable plan for the site and can execute it effectively. You mentioned wanting to keep our concerns in mind. How will you do that if you do not ask what they are? I am again requesting that you schedule a meeting with the community to hear our concerns. Keeping us in the dark will not make the situation better. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm resonating with the comments, and we do want to be, I think in these situations, deference is a good idea for decorum and things, but we certainly want to be called out when there's things we can do better, for sure, right? Otherwise we don't get better, and it was one of the primary reasons behind the creation of our communications committee in the first place, is that we make progress there. So thank you, and further discussion to be had, okay?
Thank you.
Corey, I just want to have, if I could get your contact information.
Sure, I'll put it on the blue card.
Grab it off the blue card, maybe.
Okay, great. Okay. Maybe I can
just... Sharon, Treasurer Hellman has it also. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, moving on to business. We have five items on the schedule. First one is discuss and take possible action regarding the modification of the moratorium with George, our vice chairman.
I'm asking the board to vote on a release of 5 meters a month starting in September that will be monitored on a monthly basis. Basically, every month we'll ensure we have enough water supply and that we have the proper metrics to tell us if we're okay. At any time, those 5 meters can be discontinued if we find that there's water issues or any other sort of issues. So it's a contingent release of 5 meters a month that will be monitored on a monthly-to-monthly basis.
And just to clarify wording, because I misunderstood a little bit, is that if once a meter is given, we would never cancel that, right?
No.
It's just that the next set, in other words, this can always be reviewed. We're going to keep going until we, unless we have some reason to stop, right?
For now, I vote that we, that not I vote, I, I'm asking for a vote that in 5 meters a month, it can be stopped at any time, depending on the landscape and the situations in the water supply and or any other issues.
First tranche, September 1.
Right, starting September 1.
And, George, I think you clarified this, 5 meters a month for residential use.
Well, per the list, they're all residential.
Right.
But there's no commercial on that list, so.
Right.
Is that a motion?
No. That's a motion, yeah.
And you just explained it. Does anyone second that?
I second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. Okay. That has carried. Directly related, discuss and take possible action regarding the meter release plan, how we're going to go about that, George.
All right. This one gets to be simple. I think in the prior meeting, the board voted that we would go down the list and use the list as the primary source of releasing the meters. So I'm going to make a motion to do that, but I want to make sure that everyone understands there are people who have large groups that are developing land that will eat up a lot of that list. So the amount of people who are on that list will be surprised that we won't get as far down as possible at that. And at any time, if the conditions permit, we could end the release five at a time. So lower it and or just continue it until we have a better supply. So my motion is to use the list exactly as it is, as the order.
First come, first serve as the list.
I second it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
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 Was that two?
Yeah.
Yes.
Two. Four. Two. We carry. Right? Okay.
And please understand it can be modified in the future if necessary, at any time.
It will be monitored monthly and could be changed month to month.
Yes.
Yeah, just a moment on that briefly. I mean, the things that could alter that are if supply can go up or down based on our wells. There's a few extraordinary items sitting out there that could raise their head. They've been there all along, but if they raise their head, then it gives us reason to stop and look at it. But and by the way, you didn't say it. It wasn't part of the motion. Doesn't need to be. Is that our view is that we could give up to 60 meters without any additional supply and not overcome our ability to provide that. So the idea would be that
that's what the data shows.
That's what the data shows. So we're going to do five, and then if it looks good, we're going to do five, and then we're going to do five, and we'll just keep doing that. But okay. Theoretically.
A point, I need a written proposal so I can include it in the minutes.
In the minutes, yeah. And that, George, you all right doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Corey, we also have, under extraordinary, we had a disclosure that we want to share regarding.
Yeah, just for full disclosure in the community, there was and is an outstanding obligation from 13 years ago to a user in the community who, regardless of moratorium or not, can demand up to 34 meters. And they have had that opportunity for years and years, have exercised some piece of that. What's remaining is 34. We don't anticipate, we don't know, but personally, I don't anticipate anyone asking for those right away because it's development and it takes time and things, but you need to know that's out there. Worst case scenario, they raised their head and said, want all 34 today. That modifies what we're doing. But that's full disclosure and that's worst case scenario.
With one caveat. They do not have the place to put 34 meters right now.
Right.
So they couldn't be installed. So I want everybody to think that tomorrow 34, they're not going to drop in. But there could be some amount of meters that drop in along the list.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, full disclosure, worst case scenario, right? Sorry, was that a hand?
I just wondered what will constitute shutting off these 5 meters a month? Will it be just you? Or just you that will make the decision?
We're looking at two basic data forms. We're looking at the supplies out of the well versus the demand to the system, and then we're looking at tank levels to make sure that when we have short term.
How many wells have you got running that aren't sanded?
That what?
How many wells do you have, and how many are running, and how many aren't?
It varies by time of year, by week, day of week. We try to match the well production to the demand.
And we've I think those things have, I don't know that we post that, but there's 20 odd wells, and 20 odd tanks, and to your original question is any change to what we just approved would have to be done in this forum by the board, right? In any slowing down of that, or change to that.
I don't foresee an issue for the first 60. After the first 60, without the deep well, there will be issues, guaranteed.
In theory, if I'm number 4 on the list, can I pay for my meter tonight?
We'll take that offline.
Actually, I think we have to write out what we're going to do first.
Actually, yeah. you have to apply. So there's a procedure.
My application's been on file.
Yeah. So maybe you can get that.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Current question. Is there any way of people who are currently on the list knowing where they're on the list and what is being issued each month?
Yeah, we've tried to be, as opposed to just simply posting it, call into the office tomorrow and they'll tell you where you are.
No, we'll tell you where everybody else is, but we'll tell you where you
are. Right. We'll tell you, yeah, that's right. We won't tell you where everybody else is, but we'll tell you where you are.
Well, that information I have, but I don't know if somebody called in and got, well, question being is if I'm ready to put this meter in, pay for it, but if I am not and I have to wait till the builder approval of plans and that sort of thing. How much time do I have to act on that meter?
Well, we're not going that route. It's going to be the exact list.
Okay. Which is, yeah. All right, that was my question.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to close on that. Item number 3 is to discuss and take action regarding the purchase of an excavator from Vermeer. Is that how we say that name?
That's
Vermeer?
How we say.
Steve Bowen.
Yes, so we anybody doesn't know, part of our cleanup routine in pothole and fixing leaks is using a large truck as a shop vac. And that Vermeer is one of the better brands. Like we did, we had to obtain at least 2 quotes. I got 2 quotes, one from Arctic for $131,000, and one from Vermeer, which also gave our existing broken bag truck a $7,500 credit. Oh, Empire? Not Cat?
Yep, it's Empire Machinery
and Vermeer. There you go. It's Empire Machinery
and Vermeer. It's on your front page. If you just want to look at the front page.
Oh, well.
We'd be paying Empire. Right?
Yes.
So we entered a formal bidding process and submitted a request for proposals through the newspaper. We had 2 companies to answer that, which was Empire Machinery and Vermeer.
All right, so that's where I'm getting the records. It's Empire Cat. Mm-hmm. All right. They came in at $131,000. We all have this information in the packets.
And Vermeer came in below that.
Yes, 131,423.6. Vermeer is at 103,723.51. They had everything we needed to qualify the bids. We opted for the best option of not getting a hydraulic boom, which is more maintenance and something to fix. So we're using the manual boom. It comes with a 3-year warranty. They will deliver it and they will train us on it. This is what the guys in the field prefer. I qualified the bids for apples for apples. It's Cain and Valentine. I'm asking the board to approve this expenditure.
Let me make a motion that we approve it.
Again, I make a motion that we approve the $103,000 to Vermeer to buy them.
And I second that. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Let's do it. Item number four, joint trench with in portals 1 and 2 with Alliant Gas. Sharon.
That item not only needs to be tabled, it just needs to be go away off the agenda. USDA will not permit us to do a joint trench with the Alliant Gas.
So you're making a motion to table it?
No, I'm making a motion actually to remove
to
it from
remove
the agenda.
It? Oh, remove it? Okay.
Is that, yes. Do we need to make a motion to that or we just move on?
Well, like, we should make the motion and to remove
yeah.
it from
okay.
the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor of removing this item, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Removed. Number five, discuss take possible action regarding revising office hours. Steve Bowen.
Yep, thank you. And this is just our first pass on this. But we've noticed significantly, I'm here from 7 to 3:30. And I've seen no activity after 4. Nobody walks in, nobody calls in. We're basically kind of watching the clock. So, sat down with Christy and we came up with an idea. I'm giving you two options that we'd like to for you to entertain. What we'd like to do is shut down the office at 4 o'clock on the days. And I know, George, we talked about this a little bit. It's going to be taken down to a half hour working lunch that everybody agrees they want to do. The office staff will still be here at 8. They'll leave at 4. I'll still be here 7 o'clock for the guys in the field to make sure that they're out of here by 2:30. The second option, which is, I know it's a little bit deeper, we start the office at 7:30 in the morning. There are occasions when guys in the field will have to wait until 8 o'clock to when they get in to schedule in. So by starting at 7:30, we can eliminate that because, as I told you, we've got new procedures now to get them out by 7:30. So that's one piece of it. The caveat is that we want to do this 7:30 to 4, Monday through Thursday, and work a 6-hour Friday, and close the office at 1 o'clock. A little bit more risky, I know, but those are our two reasonings behind this. Again, there's no activity after 4 p.m. And quite honestly, half a day on Friday is becoming more appealing to not only our staff, but the entire country. So please consider. Thank you.
Something to think about, right? As opposed to act on.
Steve Ween, are you there?
I am.
I need you to check on one thing because my past life at Honeywell, I believe there's a state law that requires that after a worker works 6 continuous hours, they need to have 15 or 30 minutes off. Could you check on that for us? Because that we'd have to make sure that was met.
Sure. Christy, please.
Sure. Do that. Yeah, so what you're talking about the employment.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay.
An option two, is there an alternative or in which while everyone or most could be out by 1 o'clock, that there be someone at the office?
I'll be here until 3 o'clock. Field guys, they're not changing their hours.
Okay.
I may approach the board next summer if they want to start earlier due to the heat.
Right.
But as long as there's one of my personnel out there, I'll be here.
Yeah, it's more like do we need office coverage, right? It may not be everyone, but do we need someone here during office hours?
Well, I think if we give this a couple of weeks and properly post it, that people know that, you know, they can call me at 7, you know, let's say after 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'll be here till 3:30 anyway. If they need me from 3:30 to 4, I'll be here.
Okay.
Or, yes, sir.
We were in a situation like that in a place where I worked previously, and there was some person who just disliked coming in as early as everybody else, so what we ended up doing was just kind of flip-flopping that. They backloaded their schedule for a couple hours and provided coverage to the, you know, office hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Something was considered too, that if you guys don't like this and take it off at 1, you'd be here till 3:30. We've all kind of agreed that maybe we could alternate to have somebody here for the hours, maybe at first, just because of the, you know, norm. But I'm telling you, for 4 weeks straight, I haven't seen one thing happen after 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw this out that we did at Contractors West, where I worked for 16 years. Okay. The office personnel came in at 7 and worked until 4:30 and had every other Friday off. You were working those extra hours to cover that Friday. Everybody loved knowing they were going to have a 3-day weekend every other week.
It's a great, the only problem we have is we do have one mom, and there's a couple of us that I'm here at 7:00, 8:00, so every day.
Yeah.
But it's a little early for some of them.
Yeah. Well, we worked 7 to 4:30 and had a half hour for lunch and had every other Friday off. Our field crew didn't do that because they had to work what the contractors worked. So the field crews worked 4-10s and had Friday off every day. Now, you could do that. You could have two crews. You could have your one field crew work 4 days, and the next crew come in on Tuesday and work 4 days. Then you could swap them around, and they still would all get a 3-day weekend.
I like what you're thinking.
Well, it worked really well. I was there for 16 years, and everybody loved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what was that?
And, pass Steve any other ideas we have, too, that might make sense.
Yeah.
And, of course, it would be your responsibility to make sure you had coverage no matter what if you did shift things around. And I think you know that.
I do.
Yeah, the office staff take alternating Fridays off. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's always covered.
So I think I know the answer, but let me ask it anyway. The public can come here and pay bills and ask questions from when to when? 8 to 4:30?
8 to 4:30.
Okay, so post and give them a couple weeks and it would be 8 to 4.
We also have the Dropbox.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the consideration.
Item number 9 is potential agenda items. I think kind of a standing item would be an update on the meter release and moratorium. That can be handled in the vice chairman's report, actually.
Yeah.
But at least for this next month, let's add it as an item specifically.
Right.
Any others that we obviously have time in between now and then to add items, but
do we want to put Steve's on the agenda for next month, and then maybe we can make a decision for
that? That would be great. Thank
let's
you.
Do that. Yeah, let's put the office hours item on there. Okay. Do I hear a motion to adjourn this meeting?
I so moved.
I'll second that. Too long space in there. George, I thought you'd be jumping
in. Well, because
all those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Thank you.
55 minutes.
It's a...